Crown Contracting is the sponsor of this week's Rocket Podcast, proudly supporting Rocket Football.
Okay, Rocket Football fans, this is the week. The boys come home. Crittenden County will host McLean County. Unfortunately, we're going to be a little shorthanded this week. Last week's loss at Hopkins Central meant the loss of some players due to some knee injuries, and Coach Darnes, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and get into that right away. I know it's a very disheartening time when you lose a player, and this week lose two.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, we have to say that the prayers go out to Paxton Riley and Jacob Russellberg as they both found out this week that, you know, they tore their ACL and they're going to have surgery to replace it. And, you know, just it's disheartening for them that, you know, Paxton's worked so hard. He's a senior, so he's going to miss his senior year. And was doing an outstanding job, and you hated for him for that. And Jacob Russellberg, you know, he's a junior and he has another year, and you know, see if he can rehab and get back for next year. And it's sad for him, but you know. And then we find out last night that that Peyton Riley broke his thumb in practice yesterday, and he's going to see if he has to have surgery. So. You know, it's just it's tough, and
well, the Riley family's really
it's sad for them. You know, it's like when it rains, it pours, and you know, and you can't. There's no answers for it. You question why, and you know, there's no answers, and that's what's sad about it. But
talking to Paxton's dad, he said that they had even looked at the possibility of just wearing a bracing it up good and continuing on since this is his senior season, but it's going to require immediate surgery.
Yeah, and the reason is because he also tore his MCL, and generally your MCL, you don't have to have your MCL, but now when you tore your ACL and MCL, then
there's
you have to get it done. There's none.
In the leg.
So,
yeah.
You know, if he hadn't tore his MCL, it was just his ACL, he could have put a brace on and finished the season, but with both of them, you can't do it, so... you know, it's unfortunate for him. He was trying all options and really wanted to play. But, you know, and we need him out there, though. And so, you know, here's the thing, though, Chris. You know, when injury happens like that, you know, you just don't want to make sure that they don't separate themselves from us or us from them. And they need to remain part of it and do what they can to be a part of us and now become a motivation factor on the sidelines to pump the kids up because... You know, we always tell the kids that you play your last down as it was your last because you never know when it's going to happen because this is it's an aggressive sport and injuries happen. So, but we hate it for them, and you know, you know, we pray that the surgery goes okay.
Right. Also, I believe Devin Nesbitt, who injured his leg, will be out this week as well. But his long-term prognosis is better, right?
Yeah, I mean, his was just either bruised, hyperextended, or something like that, and there was no tear, and, you know, the doctor said that whenever he feels comfortable and it doesn't hurt for him to run, jump, plant, pivot, things like that, then he can play, and, you know, he's working hard, and he really wants to play Friday, and we just don't know whether or not that he's going to be back in order to do that, so... we just have to see. So we're shorthanded, and otherwise a young and inexperienced group of kids, and now we have to go even a little bit deeper. So, you know, we just have to see. And, you know, kids that are out there need to make sure they understand they have to play hard every time.
Let's talk about where you're going to go as far as personnel-wise at tailback. Devin was your starting tailback. If he can't go this week, who steps into that role?
Charlie Johnson. You know, he's really the one that is capable of going back there and getting the job done. And, you know, it's going to be it's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he's going to have to make sure that he gets out there and gets the job done. He's very capable and has the talent and the skill. He just has to understand he has to calm his nerves because I think that's what gets him. And then if he can't do it, then we have we have Gavin Dickerson that can go back there, and we also have Mason Myers that can go back there. So we still have some options. and we have to utilize those options. And defensively, it'll be Charlie Johnson and Ben Brown at safety that have to fill Nesbitt's spot. And then we have Cody Belt right now that's come in for Jacob Russellburg. So, you know, we just have to see how that's going to happen, how it's going to play out, and they have to understand when you're given an opportunity, take advantage of it, because that's what backups want, is that opportunity to show that they can play, and now there's opportunity to show it, and so they have to showcase what they can do.
Of course, Cody's been around for a while, been in the program a long time, and now Ben Brown hasn't played since Little League, I think, but now he's a guy you've had your eye on all during preseason, and now he's going to get his chance.
Now he gets his chance, and we also have Jared Lundy at receiver that
for Riley
that has his opportunity, has his chance, and those guys have been wanting that opportunity, so here it is. And so that's what we always say. You're given that opportunity at some point, so take advantage of it and make something good about it.
So now, who's going to return kicks? Because both your return, Russellburg and Nesbitt, are your return guys.
Yeah, and so we have Mason Myers and Charlie Johnson back there, and we also have the ability to put Ben Brown back there. So we have the skill guys to do that, but they're untested, and so we have to make sure that we see how they're going to react in that situation.
Speaking of untested, McLean County comes in here with two wins. We don't know how well tested they are. They've beaten Ohio County and they've beaten Breckenridge County. Now Breckenridge is a team that just barely beat Todd County Central by a touchdown, and we've seen Todd County Central. How do you see this team that comes in here for our opening game?
Well, I'm going to tell you, McLean is a very solid football team. Watching them on film, they execute the wing tee as well as anybody that I've seen. And I think that their kids play hard, and it's not going to be easy for us at all. But it doesn't matter what they do. It matters what we do, and it's the same. It sounds like a broken record, and we say it all the time until we can get it right. Then we're going to continue to struggle. We have to do our job. In our job, if it's a deep pass, and we have to make sure we understand we've got to be there. If it's a scrape in the C gap with a linebacker, we have to scrape a C gap. If it's fill the A gap with a defensive tackle, we have to fill the A gap. If it's a certain block that we have to do on offensive line, we have to do the block. So it's a matter of us and not them. And so we have to, at this week, and what we challenged our kids is, the outcome is going to dictate itself. We have to make sure that we play with the intensity and the aggression that we have to play with. And if we don't do that, then we don't have a chance to win this ball game. If we play with emotion, we play with intensity, and we play with pride and passion in front of our home crowd for the first time, then we have a chance. Other than that, we don't have a chance if we don't go out there and make things happen.
Well, it certainly makes a difference not having all your guys in there that you've been accustomed to having when you lose three starters on a small Class A team. That's very difficult to replace. But, this McLean County team, I would assume it gives you a little bit more of a solid game plan on defense because they don't throw the ball very much.
No, and that's what we want to make sure that they do, is if they're throwing the ball, then we're doing something right. But make no mistakes, they can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback does a good job of getting it out there for them, but they don't want to. We watched the film, and they're running a double handoff, which we call scissors. They run that on third and 20 or something like that, and they get 19. So and then they're able to go for it. So, those are things that we look at. If they're going to throw the football, they're going to throw in that type of situation. So I think they want to throw it when it's opportune for them and not when they have to. And when they do, they're effective. But our secondary has to understand, the wing tee is based on misdirection and deception. And so if we don't focus our reads on where they're supposed to, then we're in trouble. And because if we're secondary and our eyes are in the backfield and we think it's a run and their receivers are releasing, and that's what you have to watch. If the receivers are blocking, it's a run. If they're releasing, it's a pass. It's that simple. But if we don't play discipline and do what we're supposed to do, we won't have a chance Friday night. And that's what concerns me with a young group, and especially inexperience. When now you take away a young person and put an inexperienced person that hasn't played before in there, that's the things that concerns us. So, you know, they have to play discipline, and we have to make sure that we try to get them to understand what it is. And we've done it this week in practice. So, you know, when we get out there, it's completely different in practice than it is in a game situation.
Of course, the wing T is an offense that we ran for many years, so if anybody knows how to defend it, we do. But a lot of these kids in the program now weren't here when we ran the wing T, so I'm sure it is a little bit more of a difficult chore for them to pick that up. as far as the offensive front goes, I know that's been a question mark. It's something we knew coming in the season. And last week, about halfway through the game, you brought in Devin Porter at center, and he finished up, and I think he played a pretty – will he be back at center this time?
Yeah, Devin Porter's going to start at center. And, you know, DK hurt his ankle a little bit, and I think that probably hindered him from being able to do what he could do. So, you know, we can't give up on DK, and we're not going to give up on DK, and I hope he doesn't give up on himself. So Porter came in and did a great job, and I think he deserves a start this week. So we're going to start him, and I've told them that they're going to rotate every series, and we'll look at that point to find out who's performing well, and we'll go with that person the rest of the time. And so
a little friendly competition never hurts.
And that's what we want. I mean, that's what, you know, it's not get upset because they're not. It's you know, and I played the college level, and that's what you had to have. You had to work hard every day to keep your mm-hmm. position. If you don't, and you don't perform, somebody else is there. So they have to understand that. It's simply a way of keeping them sharp and working hard every single day, and we need to have that.
Anything else up front offensively? Any personnel changes, or you just kind of trying to get better with what you got?
No, just get better. I mean, you know, we got those guys working hard, and all we ask them to do is fight. They're undersized, they're inexperienced, and we just want them to fight every time. And they're not going to win all the time, but they're going to fight, and that's what we want. And so we have to develop that offensive line mentality that we're going to try to blow somebody off the ball, and if we can't, we're still going to fight our tail off, and that's what we want. And, you know, we're getting better. I mean, I can see that, but, you know, we still have a long way to go. So
a lot of pressure on your linebackers this week with the wing T, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they have to understand. They have to stay at home because they run a lot of misdirection. You know, they'll hand off one to one person, and that person will hand off to the other person. And so if they're disciplined, and they take their right reads, and they trust their reads and react to their reads instead of reacting to what they see, then we'll be okay. And then backside, and that's what we tell them, is it's all backside. If you're backside and you take off running right now, we're in trouble. So you have to make sure that you contain the backside.
And the wing T is something that develops very quickly on these double handoffs. It's not like the old end around where everybody in the stadium sees it coming. This stuff is inside. It's inside the tackles. It's boom, boom.
Yeah, and that's the basis of it, you know. And all this came about because of your reverses, double reverses, and taking long time and slow developing plays and stuff like that. So somebody put together this wing T and then these double handoffs inside of it, because, you know, if you fake something and then hand it off, then there's a chance that you could see it. But when you actually hand it off, you know, you want them to see the handoff, then you got to trust that they're going to run the ball. And then they hand it off to somebody else. And so what it does is it keeps you from running. It basically, defensively, it puts your legs in the cement because you can't just take off running.
This is a team we went down to Calhoun last year, beat 31-8. The best I remember, we jumped on them really early. And it just never was a contest. And we, going into that game, we anticipated a much tougher contest. This year, you think that's going to be different?
Well, I mean, I don't think that we jumped on them. I think they jumped on us first. I think they probably scored first on us. And, you know, they got up because they ran a couple long runs right off the bat, because we were looking at a defense that that we ended up having to change throughout the course of the game. But
I think they did score first, but we led 21-8.
Yeah, they scored first. And that's what they scored their opening series. You know, and so we were concerned about it because they're very talented in what they do. And then we buckled down. But look, make no mistake, Chris, we are not the same team that we were last year. And so every game is going to be different, and we can't compare last year to this year. This group of kids from McLean County will come in here, and they're hungry for us, just like everybody else is that we have beaten. They're going to be hungry for us, and we're vulnerable, and we're vulnerable right now. And so, you know, we knew that going into this year, and I try to explain to the kids that everybody out there is saying that that we're not going to be very good because we lost everybody. And so we were trying to explain to them that, you know, you can't allow that to happen. You got to show them it's wrong. And by us losing last week, they allowed that to happen. They allowed people to say that. And that's what bothers me, because that's not the case, and that's not what happened from last week.
Of course, let's take a little time here and talk about the play that the official has sent you a letter this week apologizing. They made a bad call. It was on a block punt out of our own end zone, and it was partially blocked. They got a hand on it. We recovered the ball. It should have been our ball, but the officials gave it back to Hopkins Central, and four plays later they scored the touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, and let me start off by saying this, that I really, really respect that referee for emailing a letter to us and apologizing to our coaching staff, our players, our fans, our community, because he blew the call. And so, you know, I understand we're human. We make mistakes. I get that. And so to admit it, that takes a bigger person. Sure. And so, you know, we say that there's not one call that lost the ball game. It's not officials' loss. It's not official that made us lose that ball game. Now, certainly it didn't happen. Yeah. It didn't come at
a worst time
for us. You know, so
it was a monumental call.
It was. And so, that was my argument when I went out there. You know, we've always taught since I've been here that if we always do it when our punt team, punt block team goes out there, that if we block the punt and the punt is behind the line of scrimmage, then we try to scoop and score. Because even if we touch it and they recover it, then it's still our ball wherever they recover from. But if it goes across the line of scrimmage, then we get away from it, because if we touch it, they can recover it. That's what we've always taught. And then their thought process, the official, after talking to him, because I called him after we received that and let him know that everything was okay, and that his thought process was that he thought that it had to go across the line to gain, so it had to be a first down before we got it, which isn't the case, because it's just like any situation. It's a muff punt is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And so if we're running down the field and the punt hits us in the back, the ball hits us in the back, they can recover it, and it's their ball, no matter whether it's a first down or not, no matter where it is, as long as it crosses the line of scrimmage. So it what bothers me more than anything is that our kids are taught the right way, and because we're taught the right way and those kids weren't taught the right way, we weren't rewarded for it. And so it was actually we were penalized for it. So, but again, I respect the official for emailing us and apologizing.
And if the team that punts the ball recovers it, the possession has essentially already changed because they tipped the ball or touched
because
the ball.
Because they touched it. Yeah they touched
so,
it.
So you can recover it, and you don't have to get that first down.
You don't have to get it. That's absolutely right.
And a very interesting play. And it is a tough job to know that whole rule book.
Oh, it is tough, you know. And I kicked myself because I thought when I went out there at one point, I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna make him show me in the rule book, you know. So then it was kind of like, okay, maybe they kind of convinced me that I was wrong.
It's easy to let happen,
you know. No. So I just let it go. And so You know, it is what it is. And, you know, the whole thing, though, Chris, we shouldn't have been in that situation. Yeah. You know, we should have been in a better situation than that right there. So,
but it is unfortunate to think that could have got that second win. Right,
yeah, it is unfortunate because you always can say what it does is open the door and say, what if? Yeah. You know, if we'd have got that, then we wouldn't have lost the game. It's easy to say that. Yeah. But, you know, we're going to move forward and we're going to be better because of this loss. We're better people because of it. And so, you know, as well as I do that, you know, there's lessons to be learned from losing and adversity and stuff like that, and that's what we focus on.
All right, well, this week, kickoff at 7 o'clock. There's a tailgate party in the multipurpose room, the pork chop sale. So come out early, enjoy the fellowship before the ball game, do a little tailgating, and watch the Rockets home opener against McLean County.
Yeah, Chris, we appreciate it. We'd just like to say, too, that there's going to be a bucket out there for Special Olympics to donate. Because the next week we're going to have something special for Special Olympics athletes of Crittenden and Caldwell at halftime, and they're probably going to pass the bucket around at halftime. So, you know, we're just asking for your support and help us to do the things that we need to support our Special Olympics.
Wonderful calls. Hope everybody digs into their pockets and helps that out. All right, well, we'll see you Friday night at the Rocket Stadium.
All right, buddy. Thank you.